Go ahead. The meeting has begun.
Thank you, Leader Ron. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 6 o'clock, and can I get a motion to approve the minute?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We have a special guest here tonight, and it's not Phil Erner. Mr. McDonald, stand up and say hello to everybody.
Hello again, everybody. How you doing? Excited to be here. It's been a... I don't know if anybody knows who I am or where I come from, but I've been with the New York State for the last 14 years. I started off in juvenile corrections, working at Secure, then working at Red Hook as non-secure. I transitioned over to daycare, division of daycare, so we would go out and license programs for children. I moved up as a supervisor down there. Spring Valley moved to Westchester. I thought that was a little bit too far of a drive, so I transferred to Albany, and now I supervise the Criminal History Assessment Unit and the Enforcement Unit. So anytime daycare centers aren't following regulations and need some type of enforcement, progressive enforcement, they go through my unit. And anybody that works with children in daycare has to go through background checks, and that's what my unit does. So I was very excited to see this position posted some time ago. I've always wanted to come back to Kingston and work in my community and make an impact in my community. And it's just tough coming from I had a pretty good state job coming back into the area. So I saw an opportunity, and I'm still on, but transitioning over, I was on a couple of diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility committees up in Albany. So we did a lot of good work up there, and I just felt like this was a good opportunity for me to come down here and continue the work. So I'm anxious to learn, and anxious to see how things going, and anxious to meet everybody.
Any questions for the next commissioner?
No, my only question was going to be, I'm sorry, I didn't raise my hand. Sorry, Laura. My only question was going to be any DEI experience, and you said, you know, that you've been on the committees up in Albany, so that's good.
Yes, we meet fairly regularly. One meets monthly, and then another one meets weekly, then another one meets bi-weekly, so yep. There's a few of them up there. Some of them are geared towards the employees at the OCFS,
mm-hmm.
and then some of them are geared towards the programs themselves. You know, how do we celebrate diversity in daycare programs?
Yep.
How do we get the parents involved? How do we get the children involved? So, yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
Thanks.
Fun work.
Go ahead, Laura.
So, what other experience have you had in human rights? Have you worked in, in mediation if there's a problem with an employee? Or, a lot of what we're going to be seeing in human rights is human rights complaints. So there's that research behind that.
So... I've been a manager for 20 years, so I've dealt with a lot of complaints. And a lot of the complaints deal with employment issues, some racial issues, and lots of times we work hand in hand with the human resource department. I didn't come from companies that had a human rights particular department, but normally the human resource department handles those. So I've been involved with investigations as a licensor and a supervisor at daycare for 5 years. That's all we did was investigations. Anytime a complaint came in, we had to go out and investigate, find out, gather all the information before we can make a decision, bringing all the parties together, whether it be the home office, which I represent, our legal department, and the regional office where the complaint came. And after we gather all the evidence and put everything together, we come up with the right solution for that particular complaint. And the first thing we do is figure out whether the complaint warrants any violation of our regulations, and if not, maybe steer them towards where they might get better help on that end.
Thank you.
And, can I get a couple of motions, and then we'll pass this
motion to discuss?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You should run.
You should run while you can. Do I go? I don't know.
Yeah, you can leave.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good
you
to
never
you.
Leave. Just
nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much,
thank
Mr.
You.
McDonald.
Good meeting. Good meeting.
Good
luck.
Meeting you too.
All right, thank you.
Can I leave? No.
I don't know. Some meetings are closed. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be involved with anything until I'm wearing a badge.
That's all right.
Have a good one.
Very nice to meet you.
Okay, we got 462 on the docket. Can I get a motion?
We just did that. Oh, no, we did. Sorry, it's 461. My bad.
Are we going to go back to 124, though?
I think that...
Oh, Dave.
I think Phil had asked for this to be moved up to the front.
Oh, I got you.
Right.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Phil, tell us about your plan here.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. So, the way you have it presented, there's a J, which, I'm just checking to see if the changes are now correct. I made a mistake in reading them into the record in the Environment Committee. J says, in this local law reference system, the surrender shall include the estuarine and tidal portions of all. This is, I'm sorry, paragraph J in section 3.
Yep.
Got limitation. Okay, so
this is missing the line.
If the committee could amend this, because I messed up in that committee and didn't read Council Gordon's handwriting correctly, it's supposed to say after all tributaries to head of tide. So the amendment would be to add those four words after tributaries to clarify that this covers portions of creeks that empty into the Hudson River where it's still tidal. That was the intention of the law, and this would make that clear.
Sorry, this is under section 3?
Yeah.
Yes, section 3, we're adding an item
it's
J.
It's added, it's here.
No, I talked to the OneDrive. It's in the packet.
Here's a print version of
OneDrive right now.
I'm on it too.
Section 3 of what?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's in bold there. Yep.
Did you need to see it too?
No, I would definitely give it to John. But he's right.
The only thing you should be missing is the to head of tide part. The bolded section J on page 4 was already adopted in Energy and Environment.
I printed this off of the public drive today at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
I don't know what the public drive means.
Well there he's saying the OneDrive, but I'm looking at the OneDrive and I see the bold. And David's saying he doesn't see it either. So I don't understand how we have different.
I also don't know what everybody's looking at.
You want the PDF or the OneDrive?
PDF.
Okay, so that's no longer.
Well.
Forget the PDF.
PDF is a document type. Where is he?
If you go on the web page, there's a
the county web page.
What?
On the county web page. On the legislative.
Right, and that document's not on the county web page.
I'm on the OneDrive.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where you got it from. Okay. So, can you repeat what the words are to the head of the?
To head of tide.
To head of tide.
Correct.
Can I make a motion to add to head of tide after the word tributaries?
I'll second it.
I'd like to know what that means.
If you're in a river that's emptying into something at sea level, so you got an estuary. The tide only goes so far up the river, and like the Rondout, for example. At some point, you're going up the Rondout, there's no more tide, you're just in a river that goes one way.
Then you got to get the oars out and start paddling.
Exactly. Well, so the tide only takes you so far, that's the head of the tide. Sea level.
I get it. Okay, any more discussion on local law number 12? Did we vote on the amendment?
No.
Is that what it should say, Dennis? Tidal portion?
Go ahead, legislator Ronk.
I mean, I agreed to vote for it to make it unanimous as a public hearing. It was my understanding that we were going to be, that there might be a postponement that was requested by legislator Erner from the Democratic caucus. That was my understanding, but I wasn't sure if that had changed or.
I'm okay with questions now, and I'm okay with a postponement if that's the will of the committee.
I mean, I greatly struggle with the enforceability of giving an inanimate object rights.
Can we just put on that?
Sure.
Yeah, because I have the same thing.
I'm going to go with Joanna, and then you could.
I just wanted to say that we're also hoping for a postponement for the same reason, so we can discuss some of those issues of enforceability.
We could vote on the amendment. I got no problem with that.
All in favor of the amendment.
Did John want to make a comment?
No,
on the resolution.
Oh. It's not on the amendment. I just want to get through the amendment first.
Go ahead, on the amendment, aye.
John. All in favor of the amendment.
Aye.
John.
Enforceability was my concern as well. The other question is, could this be, this is more, I guess, a new question, could this be construed to impact the boating industry?
Yes. Well, if the boating industry were suspected or determined to be doing something that's damaging the river, which is theoretically possible. You mean the industry as a whole or the individual boaters?
I mean, boating on the nature of boating, if you're using, assuming you're using a motor, you are, in effect, could be said to be polluting the river.
That's right.
Kind of, so.
That's right. And the answer is, yeah.
Yeah.
This is an amendment. Look, in my opinion, and to be clear, to the minority leader's question also, this law was adapted from a law that we were requested to consider from a number of people, which is actually kind of becoming a more popular thing around many municipalities. And it was my concern at the outset, and I produced a memo indicating that there were a number of areas of questionable enforceability. And that's one reason why the law was expanded, because there's a lot of other things that are just sort of good ideas, in my opinion, good ideas that are quite enforceable, or at least things that aren't going to be nearly as controversial. To answer John's question, one way, this sort of the core of it that we did get from these other places, that there's the law says the river's integrity has to be respected. It's got to, you know, can't pollute it. So the question is, how low can you go? And the short answer is, based on the wording in other laws and here, you could theoretically bring a case. But if there's no documented pollution, there's no documented degradation, then it's not going to get anywhere. But yeah, if there's a situation that can inspire somebody to protest and bring a case, sure, any source of pollution could.
Can I follow?
Of course.
Yeah. So I guess the argument is the same as vehicles, normal cars. By their very nature, they pollute. The argument could be made, but now we're giving actual law that allows somebody to file suit for this on the river. You don't need to prove that it's damaging the water. You know by the nature of using a motor on a waterway that same as using a car.
That last statement I would disagree with. You do have the cause of action is that you are infringing on the viability, you can use the words in the statute, but you're infringing on the right to exist, the right to be clean, the cleanliness of the river. So you would have to, the judge would require you to show that you are in some way damaging the river. Now there are some instances where that's obvious and you don't need to show it. In the initial case, there was a huge landfill that you had like hundreds of people complaining about. At that, the judge, I think they basically accepted it was causing all these things like that. You have boats on the river. The idea that the boats on the river are damaging the river is not intrinsically obvious. You'd have to, if there were oil spills, sheens, something like that, you'd have a problem. Or if we knew the boats, for example, didn't have holes, and they were just people were just discharging sewage into the river, you could run into a situation there. And maybe that's not a bad thing, or maybe it is, but yeah.
Go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. And in the spirit of this law, it is to protect, especially since this area is becoming, you know, more desirable and more people are moving into the area, to protect the Hudson. I mean, we've been arguing about anchors that we're going to go in because we have several shallow water bays, and we didn't. And these vessels are filled with oil. They're coming from foreign countries. They would have been there anyway, anywhere from a day to a week. Some of them were docked right off of our Port Ewing water intake. They're also digging a 7-foot channel down the Hudson, stating that they've done testing and there's no PCBs, so we don't have to worry about anything getting stirred up and going into our water intake. So can you push it and say, oh, well, somebody's driving a motorboat and scaring the fish and maybe they're not going to lay as many eggs? I guess you could, you know, try that. But in the spirit of this, it's for significant environmental impacts on the river that is going to basically, you know, claw back on all of the work that's been done to clean it up and bring back the sturgeon. And there's still no shed. When I was a kid, we had shed row festivals. It was awesome. and try to protect it where it is right now.
Let me offer this. And the simple model, which is the, sort of these right of nature laws, is there everywhere else, and it's still in this law, but we expanded on. It's meant to be enforced by people, but the reality is, I don't believe there's any way, given the bulk of environmental law, that's going to happen. What this law, I think, does, and for the committee's consideration, is it makes county policy in adding some specific considerations on the river. The idea that we want the restoration thing to move forward, we want the PCB thing to move forward, and a couple of other ideas. And also, and this is super important, it puts the county in the business of actually advocating for it and enforcing it. So if EPA is considering what to do about the PCBs, this would require the county to stand up for the river as it deems in its judgment as it deems appropriate. But if we think that the PCBs coming out of the river is a good idea, this would tell the county to write a letter to EPA and to fight for that in the same way an environmental advocate, in essence, to advocate for the river on the policies that we're laying forward and other policies. And that's really the push that this law is doing, aside from those other laws that I don't really think have that much of an impact. In reality, they're not going to be that enforceable. But this is saying a bunch of other things, and we're trying to basically tell the people who wanted this that we're listening, but we're in some ways doing more and doing it hopefully in a smarter way.
You're wrong.
Thanks. I mean, I sort of see this more as a memorializing resolution than anything. It's really long and detailed. I do agree with John. I didn't think about that. I think this does set up those causes of action. I'm not saying that they'll be successful. I don't think that what you said sounded to me like they wouldn't likely be successful, but it wouldn't necessarily, wouldn't necessarily make it through summary judgment or anything like that, but they could be filed and we'd have to defend the river, I guess. I don't know.
Keep in mind, there's already the Green Amendment, so it's on the books on the Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, to your point and to Laura's point, the county and, we're already the Lorax. We speak for the river and we've spoken for it several times, including the anchorages and the PCBs and when everyone became amateur nuclear physicists and fought for, shutting down Indian Point and, when we, were fighting against the trains and the boats and everything, every other way they get, oil places, we write letters already. We write resolutions already and memorializing resolutions. I just don't see how adding a bunch of unenforceable items to the county law is going to help anything.
Let me just give you one other idea. In my experience, and I've worked for Riverkeeper for 14 years, that was 15 years ago, so I've been essentially looking at this issue for three decades. The single most important ecological issue on the Hudson River right now is the restoration plan that has gone nowhere because it's just not being implemented. But DEC did brilliant work in the 2000s, essentially mapping the areas of the river that were the breadbasket of river productivity because they're shallow and they were dredged, and they were dredged incredibly poorly by the Corps of Engineers, and an incredibly important ecological area was destroyed, and there's a plan on file to fix it and it's not getting done. And that's sort of the backwater, and just the idea of raising that and having the county write a letter on it would be enormously important in my view. And if we could move that forward, that would be the single biggest ecological advancement on the river in many, many years. So
go ahead.
I mean, but we could write that letter, absent this law. Yeah, that's my point is, rather than putting a bunch of unenforceable items into the county law, we could use that time to write the letters that you're talking about. And I'm not sure that passing this law is going to make more or less people. People aren't going to wake up in New Paltz and Woodstock and Port Ewan and other places and say, geez, the county passed that law giving the river rights. Now I gotta go and ask them to write this letter.
I go Joanna, then Tracy.
Given that this is not a memorializing resolution, and I believe that there's language in there to the effect of making the county executive responsible for the outcomes of this law without having an enforcement mechanism, we would really like to postpone and understand more of the individual pieces.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to, and more than reasonable, necessary to have the county executive understand and that be a part of the conversation. But I also think, first of all, it's not memorializing in any way, shape, or form in my mind. I mean, I think that's why the conversation has to be had. You know, it's, to me, and I've said this before, it's analogous to giving corporations personhood. You know, the concept of giving a portion of nature personhood, which is not novel. It's not the only river that's been given, I'm calling it personhood, but it's not the only river that's been given personhood. It sets it up for a different kind of protection. I mean, we have seen what's happened in the personhood of corporations through that legislation, which I wish we could roll back, but I'm on a different, I mean, in terms of protecting nature, I'm on a different side of the argument here, and I think that it's really important to have these conversations and to figure it out, but it's definitely a tool that this county hasn't used before, and while it's not novel across the world, it's novel probably in New York State. Are there other
Kingston just passed a law in this regard, and this is becoming much. The push for a right of nature law is becoming much more popular, and that's why the count. I mean, even when we amended the law to include to keep what we had, but add other things, we were getting a lot of blowback that people wanted just a pure right of nature law. But I would also say that, let me just give you one counterexample. 2 years ago, a lot of people in the county and the county itself were very, very upset about the potential that DEC would renew the discharge permit for the discharges over for the Ashokan Reservoir discharges, both into Kensico and into the Lower Osopus Creek. A lot of environmental groups worked on that. I actually represented one of them, Catskill Mountain Keeper. At the same time we were commenting on that, the county wrote comments. Amanda wrote a 50-page comment letter opposing that, and ultimately it not only was it dropped, but a year and a half later, the city came up to the county and said, why don't you guys think about taking it? I don't want to go too far with that, but the point is, when the county advocates, things can really get done, because a regulatory agency is used to seeing Riverkeeper, they're used to seeing local environmental groups. When Ulster County comes forward and says, this is important to us, it has a huge impact.
I'm going to go Dennis and Kenny.
So, the executive office asked me to take a look at this, and particularly because of the county planning board has recommended it being included in the statute. And the concern I have is that the law consists of generally a number of statements which are directed at the various regulatory agencies that have not done something. And indicates that the county has a duty to promote, defend, and do other types of things with association with regard to that. What the law lacks is any citing of county regulatory authority to do that.
We're not setting up the county for regulatory.
I know you're not. What I'm saying is there's no regulatory statutory authority that's established in the statute in terms of what you're trying to do. And it does read, and it does essentially place some burden on the fact that this is more like a memorializing, a series of more memorializing resolutions to which the executive is going to be tasked with trying to do something about whether that we may or may not have any regulatory authority. The comfort level that I think about is, one is that there is no section of in the statute that says, here's what we want you to enforce with respect to that. And that's the first piece of this. The second piece of this is that When you look at this from a standpoint of who can be sued, just remember the fact that you could be sued for inaction as much as you can be sued for action. And the law contains a provision within it that allows citizen suit. And the last piece of this is I don't know how I would advise the county planning board in terms of making recommendations, given what's in the statute. I don't know what I would say, do, or make specific recommendations. Last but not least, a lot of this effort may be subject to preemption at the state and federal level. So there's that preemption issue that you need to think about and deal with. I certainly would think that what we're trying to do here and the popularity of these types of statutes represents the idea that we need to find some leverage to work on state and federal programs that are not being implemented or being implemented in a way that we don't necessarily agree to or think they should be implemented differently. I'm not sure that a local law is the way to do that.
Very quickly, first on the regulatory thought, and I want to again keep in mind the letter that Amanda wrote 2 years ago. We have no regulatory authority over the spillage from the dam, and in fact, we were offered that, and we wanted to back away from it. So the point is, we don't have regulatory authority. These are handled by other agencies, but the county stepped forward and wrote a letter based on its advocacy position, based on representing the county's policies. That's exactly the same model. We're not preempted from writing a letter, even if we were preempted from having regulatory.
You don't need a local law. I apologize.
I understand. It was my thoughts exactly.
And the other thing is on inaction. This would, it's actually the decision that was made by the court in the first case where they did not allow the citizens to sue the landfill themselves that was emanating, but they allowed them to sue DEC for inaction or for imperfect.
Citizens' right of standing, I understand.
Well, it's a citizen suit, but against the agency forbid enforcement. And so that's already, assuming that that's upheld, that's already in the Constitution.
I totally agree. But my point being is what I wanted to say is that I don't know, within that policy framework, I don't know where I go from a county planning board to say, I'm going to make a specific recommendation on a specific project. Is it in accordance with the law? Is it not in accordance with the law? Other examples I would give you is if the county is funding an expansion of a sewage treatment plant, which you're currently doing with respect to your infrastructure programs with respect to ARPA, is that in accordance with the law or is it not in accordance with the law? Mm-hmm. I don't have answers to those questions. I have the understanding that we're pretty upset about the way certain kinds of things are proceeding under state and federal control. I'm not sure that being that upset warrants going through the local law process versus being that upset and basically challenging, going through like you do with Central Hudson rate cases, like we did with respect to the lower Esopus, is essentially the legislature stepping up on an individual basis, passing a necessary resolution, putting money behind that resolution, and then going in and intervening in the cases. And I think you can do that. I think you have the ability to do that as a party and as a government and a municipality. I'm not sure what this law accomplishes that you can't do with respect to that. And I do think that there's enough ambiguity that you may find yourself, that the county planning board and others may find themselves in a situation where we're not really sure whether we're in accordance with the law or we're not in accordance with the law.
You want to make a postponement, Leader Rohn? Corey has.
I was just, if I could, I'll make a motion to postpone and then I'll say a couple things.
Okay.
Go ahead. Council, a lot of what you said, to me proves that we don't need this law. Because we're already, opposing the plan for releases, and we're already, Legislator Petit said, we're already opposing the anchorages, and we're using our advocacy ability to do all of the things that you're telling us that this law would then allow us to do, or require us to do. You know, again, I've never been a huge fan of requiring ourselves. To me, that's, you know, our job to begin with. And I do have a concern about, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I know the chair said that it's not a memorializing resolution. I agree with you. My problem is it reads like a memorializing resolution because we don't have the statutory authority to do some of these things, you know, and I do have concern about, you know, this is just going to regulate our portion of the river. What about the other eight counties that have, you know, the Hudson River in them?
Well, and that's a very good point. There's a whole section of the law that recognizes that, and we're going to try to protect our portion of the river or anything that affects it, which could come from somewhere else.
So here's a question for you. So we have, you know, let's say they dredge the river in Greene County, and the PCBs, you know, get all churned up and head down to our portion. Does that mean that the county is going to rent a dredge and go in and fix that? I just don't.
It means that the county executive, if she determines that this is a problem for the Ulster County portion of the river, for people that are using it and enjoying it, yeah, is going to. I'm not sure what you asked, but she would advocate against that. If the dredging is going to cause pollution, which is going to affect us, this is of course very close to what the Shippey complaint was. The county executive would be expected, we were hoping for the Department of the Environment, but there might be resource issues, to step forward and to advocate for the county's rights.
So is there any circumstance where you think that if that's going to happen and the county executive sees that happening, he or she is not going to do that anyway?
Well, are they currently advocating for the restoration of the, for the implementation of the restoration plan, which I think is pretty important?
I mean, you'd have to ask her. I mean, she's been pretty strong on environmental fronts. I mean, you know, again, is advocating for that specific plan written into this law?
Yes, very much. And I would just offer that this would be the legislature setting county policy. And of course, there's always the opportunity for the executive to find reasons not to, or reasons to disagree. But this is memorializing county policy and asking the county executive, perhaps requiring the county executive, to protect that. It comes down to that. And we do have the authority to do it. Of course we have the authority to do it. Even if it wasn't under already existing law, which we do, we have the Green Amendment, in the words of the judge, it basically changes the game. It requires the instrumentalities of the state government, county government, local government, to protect the environment. And that this is implementing that.
Can I ask a question? How much of that restoration program is it located in Ulster County, and where are the locations?
No, it's generally that portion of the river is basically between Catskill and Troy. It's the upper estuary.
So we're going to implement for something that's all the way upstate. We got no control over that. You want the county executive to call up DC or whoever and say, hey, you guys got to clean up Troy.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
If your constituents ever go down to the river to fish, that's where the fish come from. That's where they spawn. If that river's not fixed, the fish are cut.
I think anybody knows that you can't eat the fish in the Hudson River.
Well, that's the other thing. The two issues we're advocating for specifically are the restoration of the river and cleaning up the PCBs. So if your constituents want to go down to the Highland Landing and fish out of Highland Landing, you've got to get the PCBs out of the river and you got to get more fish.
You got to get the stripers in May, that's it.
Well, ultimately we can get the shad if you fix the fish. Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's what it's about.
All right, on the postponement.
Hi.
I'm going to be a no on the postponement. This conversation has gotten me further and further away from it. I'm just ready to vote no tonight.
Yeah, I'm a no on the postponement, too.
I'm a yes on the postponement.
Okay. We have 465, establishing a policy to record electronically.
Can I go back to 124?
Mm-mm. These are all Phil's.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we have another special guest. That's Phil Erner.
I'll move 465.
Is that a second?
Mm-hmm. Second. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to move the amendment that we've all been handed out tonight.
Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
Do we got a second on the amendment?
Second.
You want to discuss the amendment or vote on it?
How's the sponsor feel about it?
Just thank you for asking. I'm just seeing it now, and so far so good. I'm going to second the last resolve.
Oh, you're the editor.
Yeah. It's not substantive.
It's policy instead of resolution. It all made sense to me when I read it.
Thank you.
All right. I'm good with it.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
On the resolution itself,
I'm totally in favor of it, Mr. Chairman. Legislator Bartels and I have always been together on the forefront of a lot of this stuff. And Phil, I think that this is great. I'll never forget sitting at this table in Laws and Rules, I think it was, and a former legislator who will remain nameless said, quote, "Don't you realize if we put these meetings online, people are going to hear what we say?"
That is,
you remember
true.
That, Trace?
I do.
And
wait, we co-sponsored.
We did, yeah. So I'd actually like to be added as a sponsor. I think it's great.
Thank you. Thank you.
I would like to thank all the sponsors and all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's one of my things I want to do as town supervisor is start webcasting our meetings.
Great.
Yeah.
We're gonna
Don't
go.
You know, people will watch.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Sunlight's the best disinfectant.
That's
466.
Second.
Discussion. Go ahead.
I love this idea. I know other people don't, and I've heard from a lot of folks about the logistic problems. I love the idea. I've always liked the idea of moving meetings around the county. I think that seeing other parts of the county, I wanted to do that with our caucus. I just never got off the ground to do caucus at a different town hall in our districts. It really gives you an idea of the differences in Ulster County. One thing I've been doing in my volunteer role as chairman of the Republican Party is visiting the various towns as they have their caucuses, and I got off to a town I've never been to before, which is Hardinburg. I think it'd be awesome to hold a county legislature meeting in Hardinburg, but everyone would need GPS and make sure that you get it printed out before you
satellite
get there, because there's absolutely no service once you get past Big Indian.
Make it hard to stream.
That having been said, I am ending my service here, and others are continuing on, and I'm paying closer attention to the voices of those who are going to serve beyond the moment when I'm gone, and a lot of them have been telling me that they're not wild about the idea. So,
Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I also like the idea, and the sponsor and I spoke about this at the start of this term, the idea of moving meetings around, especially sharing coming from the southern end of the county where so much happens up here. I'm concerned about the logistics. That's what I'm hearing back from the office. Mm-hmm. And of all the most critical days, I feel session day is the most difficult. So mandating that the session days move around to me is the hardest. I'm with you. I'm also leaving. So ultimately defer to the next body, and I think the next body should really talk about it. Maybe it makes more sense to try to move six caucus, I call them caucus days, but first Ways and Means days around the county, or something that's less onerous with the live stream, with the audiences, etc. So, yeah, and just hearing from the staff who pretty uniformly speak to the challenges of it. So I don't feel ready to support it right now for those reasons, but I do appreciate the intent, and I like the idea of getting out there. And certainly the idea of getting out there with way advanced notice so that people would know.
Leader Runk.
I mean, maybe the idea is one meeting a year in a place other than the county office building.
Yeah.
In a town, in a place other than Kingston. Just a thought, moving forward. I may not be here to vote on that or whatnot, but I mean, that would be, maybe a starting point and see how it works, and maybe the problems aren't all there as we think they are.
Go ahead, Aaron.
No, I'm going to let that.
defer to the chair.
Oh, thank you. On that point, I mean, that's not even something that would have to necessarily be put in the rules. The next chair, when they're setting the meetings, could choose, you know, to have one meeting in an alternate place.
Yes.
You can advocate for it early without mm-hmm. actually putting in the rules as a test of yeah. seeing him.
Yeah, so I was just going to reiterate exactly what, you know, Legislator Ronk and Chair Bartels were saying in regards to, I think it's a good idea to, you know, as we did last year, having our one of our meetings over the summer over at UCC to get out of Kingston and go someplace else in the county. I think that's a positive thing. I do have an issue, though, with, you know, this resolution basically mandating having... Mm-hmm. 23 of the 24 meetings of the legislature being outside of the county seat. I think that that's a bridge too far for me. And in addition to speaking to legislative staff about the logistical hurdles that it would entail. So I think, obviously, I support the idea of getting meetings moved around, whether that be caucus meetings or committee meetings to other parts of the county. But I cannot support this resolution as it's presented to us today. But I do appreciate the idea of starting the conversation, and I am, again, in favor of trying to get meetings to other parts of the county so that folks that maybe can't come to Kingston physically can, you know, maybe attend a meeting that's a meeting or a caucus or a committee meeting that's more close to their residence. So, but I will be in opposition to this today.
Anybody else? Tracy?
Just one other thing to think about in terms of the mandate. I've been thinking about the challenges as being logistical challenges on the part of the staff. I don't mean to spoil you, but in relation to actually just running the meetings. I haven't even contemplated what it would take for staff to set up and prepare for the location of the meetings. Like, for example, in the town that I live in, the town hall probably would not be adequate for 23 people to be sitting together, for the 23 of us to be there with an audience viewing as well. So it would need to be a different site. So someone from the office would have to be identifying this. That's a whole nother level of work, identifying the site, making sure that there's chairs, making sure all the stuff that I take for granted in thinking about having the meeting at the community college, where we know that there are the chairs, where we know that they have adequate setup for sound systems, et cetera. I'm thinking about some of the times when we have our budget hearings. You know, we're sometimes in really small places and only a few of us show up and only a few of the audience show up. So the idea that you actually want to get participation means you need to plan for participation, and that's actually a heavy lift for 12 months. And so I'm just saying that as constructive criticism, that maybe Legislator Ronk's suggestion is actually, I think, probably functionally the best one to try with one meeting that's somewhere other than the community college, or even if you're going to go to, whether it's on session day or not. But I think you'll see that there's the layers of work are many.
And a lot of town halls have different events on the third Tuesday or whatever, you know. So it's something to think about. And there's going to be an added cost to bring this streaming, you know. You know, they're going to have to, you know, they gave us a contract to do it here. I'm sure it's going to be more if they're moving it around doing a road show. So, anyway, any more comments? Bill, go ahead.
Thank you. So, thank you all so much for the feedback on this. I'm prepared for it to go down in defeat tonight.
In flames.
And I appreciate those who expressed any kind of support and Peter Ronk's love for it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd just like to share some of my rationale for bringing this, and then happy to for you to proceed. So, you know, you'll see a theme tonight, like recording electronically all meetings, and this in Public Works. I had some legislation about having a late bus, or like the last bus waits for the meetings to end. It's about bringing people to the government and bringing the government to the people and making it as accessible as we can. Yeah, the college, I guess we have planned for that, and so that's why that goes well. And with this, I would expect we would have to make a further plan for the other districts to host it, but I think we could. And I think it would be great to have meetings that would have more interest, like where we're, the budget hearings I know don't draw too many people, but where we have debates that are have people with lots of opinions on lots of sides of the issues, and we've seen turnout in some recent meetings here fill the room, and I'd like to give that opportunity to other parts of the county, even as a Kingston legislator, knowing. And I certainly heard in caucus plenty of other good suggestions, that some of which are echoed here tonight, about moving various committees around, and I love that. And maybe we don't have to, as again Leader Ronkin said earlier about another resolution tonight, we don't have to tell ourselves that we have to do it, but having so I understand that objection to this, certainly. And then the number 23, I mean, that's close to 24 legislators right now that we have, which is the number of months in a term of office. So it seemed convenient to me that, given the current size of the legislature, the equitable thing would be to have every legislator get to host one time in their term.
I'm pretty sure the legislature has to be.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Something that popped into my head in relation to something that Legislator Erner had just brought up. In regards to we might be facing the potential of a 1 year legislative term coming up in 2026, I guess. So that would only be so we would only be having a 12-month term, and I don't know how this if this resolution was adopted. We would only be looking at 12 members being able to host instead of 23. So that would be an issue in terms of not necessarily fulfilling the letter of the law of what the resolution is saying if we end up having a 1 year term down the line. So,
but. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll vote yes.
Motion is defeated. Okay. We are going to 124, Ken.
Yeah, I'm going to withdraw it. But I will be putting one in without the, grandparent clause or...
Grandfather?
Grandparent. I was told that grandfather's pejorative.
Who told you that?
Guess.
I do think that this legislature needs to work together to create reciprocity. A requirement or even a request or something that the Electrical Licensing Board try and enter into an agreement with Orange County or Rockland County or one of the other county or some of the other counties to create reciprocity. There's absolutely no reason why these contractors who are competent contractors who have taken a test in another county have to take the test here too. It's ridiculous.
And Ken, I might like to add that we talked about this in Lent and probably had more conversations when this law was being presented to us in this committee about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Or I think it was like 4 years ago, right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
It affects Plattekill, Shanga, Marlboro, maybe Saugerties more because, most of the people that serve Plattekill and Marlboro come from Newburgh and, and Middletown. And they have the Orange County license, and then they have to get another license come to here to work in Ulster County for one job. To me, it makes no sense.
Yeah. There's people who turn down work because they don't want to take the test.
And it is hard enough to get an electrician here down in Plattekill.
Yeah.
A lot of people from Newburgh just won't come up.
So the question, Tracy, why is he withdrawing it?
It doesn't have the support, and the electrical licensing board's really against it. But I'm going to put in something else that doesn't have the grandfather, but I'm going to work with council to try and come up with some language on reciprocity. The best option is if the ELB, you know, enters into an agreement with Orange County and Rockland County and the city of Kingston and Saugerties. And
they could do that rather quick. I have spoken to the people in Orange County, and reciprocity doesn't mean that they're going to recognize Ulster license or vice versa. It means you could apply for a one-time permit and get it without getting a license. And that one-time permit may be more costly than actually taking a test and getting the license. So but I think, you know, the more reasonable thing is actually recognize an Orange County license.
That to me, I would say that it's if you present an Orange County license, which means that you've taken a test or you were grandparented in down there, you know, back when the test came, you know, working continuously for this number of years, all the requirements, you know, if you present an Orange County license or a, you know, other comparable license, then you are waived the requirement of having to take the test and can just get the license.
And you can still pay for the license. You wouldn't get a free ride.
You don't have to sell me on this. I'm Ken, if you actually put that in, me as a co-sponsor, because I think this whole thing was ridiculous since the beginning. I never agreed to any of this, but here we are today. So.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put that in, put me as a co-sponsor.
You got it. Wasn't so much for you, it was for everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Leader Ronk.
Yeah.
371.
I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you.
Who wants to discuss first?
Sponsor?
Sure.
We are still working on some language. One of the original individuals who reached out feels that we should still have some language in there that the party that was elected to the legislative position, it should remain that party. The concern is if they go to a board, even if it's a weighted decision, that the board could be an opposite political party. There's also a question raised about what if they're unaffiliated, and I think the answer to that would be whatever party they caucus with. So we still have some more work to do on it, unless there's something that really stands out that would kind of help us along.
Chair?
Well, I just want to say again, which I said in the caucus, the issue, and I don't know where I would land, I know you want to get this done before the end of the year, but the issue with regard to representatives that represent more than one town, it's critical that they be weighted votes.
Have a weighted vote.
Yeah, which it doesn't say right now.
I mean, that would be law.
It is.
Yeah, that would be a non-starter for me. Just it being someone that, and John's nodding too, someone that has always represented multiple towns and disproportionate. Many of these districts, you have people who are fully in one town and a small portion of another, and the way it's written right now, they could have equal, and it also doesn't, without the weighted vote, it doesn't take into account that you could have a board with more seats than another board, and they would get a disproportionate vote, potentially, if it's just...
Who's got more seats?
I'm not saying they do.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying...
Because, I mean... I don't know how many. It's class one, class two town issue because I think class one towns all have
five.
The same. Yeah, five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but yeah, the weighted is for sure critical to me.
All right, I'll take another look at it. So if we could take no.
And I believe Duchess, it is there too. That's
it is definitely weighted vote.
Yes, I pulled the language out. I just didn't see that.
It's a weight. Yeah, it definitely said weighted vote when I read it.
I got Aaron. I think John wants to weigh in.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember when it was brought up, but I do know, I remember that there was a point brought up about for the districts that encompass the three villages, that in addition to the town board, that the village board would have some say on this as well. I don't know in terms of what the weight would be for, you know, what the proposed weight would be for the village as opposed to the town, but they wanted to make sure that the villages were having a say on it as well for the, I guess, the three village-based districts.
May I just jump in?
In a district lying within the boundaries of two or more towns or cities or parts thereof, by a majority weighted vote of all the boards or councils governing said towns or cities, assembled collectively for the purpose of filling such vacancies, such weighting shall be based upon the ratio of population of each town in such district and divided evenly among the members of each separate board or council.
That's where it has to be fixed.
It's Article 2, Section 2.13 of the Dutchess County Charter.
Section 2.13, you just said? Oh, I see it here.
Yeah. John, did you want to weigh in?
Yes, yeah, so Aaron told one thing I was going to say, which is representing a village. Yeah, villages need to have a say. The second thing is, which I brought up at caucus, is you could have a person elected to the position on the clean sweep line, and then when they get here, they caucus with the pizza party. I don't think the parties should be in this at all. I don't think that political affiliation, because you're going to have that, you know, the John Parody party.
Well, having seen a few people, this happen a few times over the years, I'm a big fan of having the same party as was elected get replaced with not what the majority party up here or the majority party on a town board. So,
but what do you do about the clean sweep candidate?
Well, you know, you could pick another clean sweeper if you want.
They don't exist.
Clean sweeper.
Well, this election, it might be.
Yeah, there's a number of independent lines.
Craig.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Craig Lopez is running on the no party line.
But again, Craig's in a caucus with the Republicans. So.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But he may not. Ken's leaving. He's going to be very heartbroken. He may not. He's going to form his own pizza party.
Army and one.
And we still got an election there. All right. So do we postpone this?
I make a motion we postpone for a month.
Thank you.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Against? Motion on 463, please.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? 472.
I'll move it.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion?
Can I just ask a question? So this is, it's extending the participation in the pilot program. I'm sorry, I didn't look at it closely.
Does that
mean that, is it just extending it for a period of time, or is it making it permanent?
It's extending it for
the 31st, 2025.
So the state legislature extended the program. There was a lot of back and forth about whether or not we needed to extend as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of ambiguous about whether we need to act, but we needed to act to opt in the first place, so we're just belt and suspenders. Let's make sure that we don't get closed out of the program.
Okay, and can I ask another question?
Of course.
Does anyone track participation in this? I'm assuming that for the 12 and 13 year, they have to get some kind
DEC
of license,
does,
right?
Don't they?
I think so.
I think there's an annual report. DEC, I think, puts a report out.
I'll look into it before session.
Could we maybe find out how many of our residents participate? That would be great. Thank you.
We'll do.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Old business, new business?
No, I wasn't going to have new business.
I'm going to just be quick just to say to the committee, we're expecting we know that the Charter Revision Commission is going through, you know, is finalizing. Yeah. We're going to get the full set of recommendations. There's also going to be some, I'm sure, that members of the legislature brought forward that were or were not approved. So this committee, other than the ones that are going directly to the voters, this committee ideally would like to have a look at the packet and ideally move it before the end of the year, given that we're all here and we're all vested. So just wanted to kind of give a heads up. It'll probably require a special meeting, at least one, and some serious advance work just to kind of go through to. But we've been able to do that before this committee. I have full faith in the committee. But I just wanted to give everyone a heads up that that's coming and it's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
September.
Thank you. Leader Rock.
I move adjourn.
Second.
Thank you all.